Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The killer bees don't sweat about the murderous J's. We've got Joel, Jeremy, and Joe. That's three J's. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5. It's the Killer Bees and Murderous J's.
Joe George is in for Blank today. Sean Mapes is in for Joe George today. I am Brandon. We'll have the full band tomorrow. Everybody's back tomorrow, right? The full lineup? Everybody?
Everyone's back tomorrow. Unless someone throws a curveball at me. Which, yeah, with this place, you never know. But everyone's back tomorrow.
Paul might be sick.
Still? Two-day hangover?
Nah, he'll be back. He'll
get these. He's done the show way more hungover than he'll be.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
Have you guys had those yet?
What's that?
The two-dayer? Two-day hangover?
Not at this age, no. Especially not with Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben doesn't, you don't get hangovers, yeah, with Gentle Ben.
Because the secret ingredient's what's not in it.
Yeah, legitimately, I don't put that in the rids, but you don't get hungover on Gentle Ben.
I don't.
You really, it's weird.
I drank a good amount of Gentle Ben this weekend, actually.
You don't. I don't know the science behind it.
I was going vodka soda all weekend, pretty much.
Sounds good.
It was very good.
I gifted some Gentle Ben.
So did I.
There you go. So did
I owe you some Gentle Ben.
You do. You do. You lose a lot of bets with me.
Yeah.
You owe me a lot of things, actually.
I owe you a lot. Yeah.
CJ Stroud made his return yesterday after these concussions, which were awful. Awful to have those concussions, but good that he's back. CJ Stroud in this game yesterday, 24 for 32, which he threw it a lot, but a bunch of short stuff. 213 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, sacked once. QBR, if you're into that sort of thing, 50.2. QB rating, if you're into that sort of thing, 102.7. Before you grade C.J. Stroud, here's how D'Amico Ryans graded C.J. Stroud yesterday.
Yeah, he was efficient all day. That's one thing I would say. He was efficient, went to the right spot with the football. He made great decisions all day, and that's what I would say about C.J. He was calm. He was confident in the moment, and just the confidence factor of what he does to our entire team, he raises everyone's level of confidence because everyone knows the type of player that he is, right? He's a big-time playmaker, and he continues to show it week after week. So, man, we're all excited to have CJ back because, you know, he is a really great player, and we're happy to have him.
There you go. So there was D'Amico's assessment of CJ Stroud's performance yesterday. Joe, what is your assessment of CJ Stroud's performance yesterday?
I also thought he was pretty good. It wasn't flashy. They didn't have to do any of the big time stuff, but they dominated. So they didn't ask him to do a lot. Because the numbers weren't super flashy, I'm not going to give him an eagle. I'm just going to go a nice little birdie today.
Yeah, see, I think he was good. I think he was super solid. I like the scheme from Slowik. Some people are disagreeing with me. Oh, they got to score more in the red zone. Yeah, you got to score more in the red zone. But you also won by 23 points. Like, at what cost are you trying to be so aggressive offensively in the red zone? Eat the time of possession, take care of the ball, mm-hmm, make sure you get points. You win by 23 points. You keep CJ Stroud upright. He gets sacked once. I liked the game plan from Bobby Slowik, D'Amico Ryans. I think it was a good one. I'm giving Stroud a birdie. I think it was a really nice first game back for CJ Stroud. I think it was a good way to kind of ease him back into the flow of the NFL, which is hard to do. Like, mm-hmm, you haven't played in 3 weeks, basically. You kind of have the uncertainty of what you're going to be like coming off of a concussion. Like, all of those things considered, I was really pleased with the performance of C.J. Stroud, really pleased with the performance of this offense. You look, I think it was they scored 5 of the 7 drives that C.J. Stroud was in the game, because remember, they benched him. They didn't bench him. They pulled him because they had the lead and went with Davis Mills. I think it was 3 of 4 scoring drives in the first half. They were incredibly efficient yesterday. Would you like them to see closeout touchdowns in the red zone? Yes, absolutely. But the efficiency was incredibly high. Give them a birdie. I thought the Texans' offense was overall good. Sean, you want to grade C.J. Stroud?
Yes, I would. And I think if he wasn't coming back from the concussion, like if this was just a regular C.J. Stroud game, not coming off a concussion, I think it would be a par. But when you add in the fact that he had to kind of, like you mentioned, get back in the rhythm of NFL football, get his sea legs under him, I feel good giving him a birdie for basically all the reasons you said. It was nothing that knocked your socks off except for how he bounced back from the injury.
Yeah. I think it was an overall solid performance for C.J. Stroud. We're all giving him a birdie. How would you grade C.J. Stroud? 713-780 ESPN. 6318 says, I would have liked to see the run game more in the red zone. I'd have to go look at the ratio of the red zone. I don't really remember what the ratio looked like of run-pass in the red zone. I feel like it was pretty balanced, though.
Yeah, I thought it was, too. And one thing I really like about how the offense has changed, and I feel like you've seen we've seen the uptick in rushing yards and just overall production from the team. I like this quick toss thing they do instead of the handoff to Singletary and Pierce when they give them the ball. It feels like they're getting much more momentum running downhill, and it's been more effective for the offense.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams don't do that. Do more teams do it than I realize?
I think you see it a lot with a Shanahan tree.
Toss to McCaffrey and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the receivers kind of crack block, which is supposed to be illegal, but you can kind of do it if you just get in their way.
Yeah.
You see it quite a bit with them. To me, it's whenever you have speed and if you think you can block the edge too, which to me is game plan specific. Certain defenses, I don't think you can do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Texans have been very good running the ball outside this year. Yesterday, the exception. Because I do think it was good yesterday.
No, most of Singletary's success, it feels like, has been between the tackles.
Sure.
And he's found a hole and made it work in the system, which is a lot of times what you see in the Shanahan style offense.
Yeah.
The thing with the red zone stuff, and to where I agree with the point that people are frustrated with it, is that it is a long-term trend with this team. It is not something that has just become a problem in this one game. Throughout the entire season, we've talked about it so much on our shows about third and one, fourth and one, what they've done in the red zone. They just haven't executed great in those moments. But that's where I feel like you're still seeing CJ's a rookie. The talent on offense isn't superior. And Bobby Slowick's a rookie play caller. The Texans' offense has gone so far past all of our expectations that we're almost giving them an unfair grade, I think, in some areas of the field, specifically in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. That's probably what led to the frustration yesterday in the red zone, is that it's become kind of a holistic theme
like it won't
of the
work.
2023 Texans.
They won't win next week if they do that.
No, I agree with that part. I do agree with we need to score touchdowns. We can't settle for field goals against Indy like you did against Tennessee. I do agree with that part. But for one specific, and I do agree with your point too. It seems like a 2023 Houston Texans offense, general theme is that they struggle a bit in the red zone. They move it well, but they don't finish drives. You can look at the Houston Texans. I didn't look at it this morning, but they've been better at total offense, which is just yards, versus what their scoring offense has been, which means the drives are stalling out and you're settling for three and you're not finishing them. Mm-hmm. So for an overall theme, I agree. In this specific game, I'm not going to get aggressive in the red zone when I'm up 3 possessions and C.J. Stroud's playing for the first time since missing 2 games from a concussion.
100%.
And I'll agree that next week you need to be more aggressive and you have to be willing to take some chances to try to score touchdowns as opposed to settling for field goals. But in that one specific game yesterday, I don't care. You're up 3 possessions. You're keeping C.J. Stroud safe. You probably don't want to put a whole lot on film, quite honestly, because this game's in the bag yesterday against Tennessee. Next week is your do-or-die game, so it's like, do you want to put your best offensive stuff on film for Indy? No, you don't.
That's
you're
what
up
I
by
like.
17 points, and you want to show your best red zone offense stuff against a team that you're going to blow out yesterday, and you are blowing out whenever you have a do-or-die game next week? No, of course not.
Is it weird that that was my first thought when they ran the double reverse? Was like, why aren't they saving this for next week?
See, now I'm going to contradict myself here a little bit. Because I think a lot of, trick plays to me aren't what you're doing. Trick plays to me are more based on what the defense does.
That they're over.
You're over committing. Why are you? Why did the Texans use the reverse yesterday? Well, they realized that Tennessee swarms to the ball and the back end's open whenever there is a possibility of a reverse. Whereas Indy maybe doesn't have that. So it's not like you're not blowing that trick play specifically because it's really for Tennessee. And then you should have other stuff for the Colts and stuff that you notice. That to me is one of the football sayings that I can't stand. Well, they should have saved this. You know, that trick play is specific to your opponent. But red zone offense is different. That's your base stuff. That's what you're going to run. That's what you go. That's like your ABC plays versus, trick plays are different to me where it's game plan specific. So I know I contradicted myself a little. I don't think I did much.
But one thing with the red zone offense that we haven't touched on yet, and I know typically Tuesdays when we do the don't ignore victory what you wouldn't defeat.
Yep.
But how did you feel about the run play with Hutchinson in the red zone?
I didn't mind it.
Really?
No, I didn't mind it.
Because that seemed to, I would say, trigger Texans Twitter.
See,
that seemed to upset people.
They were already up quite a bit there, weren't they?
I know.
Once the Texans went up 17-0 yesterday, I didn't care what Slowick did the rest of the game. As long as they were scoring points, I don't care if they were field goals as much, as long as they were eating up time, as long as they were mistake-free, they were, and as long as they were keeping C.J. Stroud healthy. Once they're up 17-0, I liked that Bobby Slowick went conservative.
And the other thing about that play that I like is when the Texans drafted Tank Dell, one of our discussions was, would Bobby Slowick use him in any capacity like how the 49ers would use Debo?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, no, we don't. No one really wants that. And we saw very minor moments of it. No offense to Hutchinson, but he can be your Debo, at least in the run game.
Yeah.
You could do some creative, fun stuff with him. He's got some wheels. So, I'm fine with him being in those situations.
I don't mind Tank as much.
In, the run stuff?
Yeah, I don't want to block. Five times. I don't want to block in the box. I don't mind if Tank gets two or three carries on jet sweeps.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Hutchinson, I feel like you shouldn't be comparing Hutchinson to Debo.
No, I just meant, in speed.
Aggressive reach.
No, using him in some of the same stuff. Even though it might not work as well.
I think that's going to be a Slowick staple, is you're using your receivers in some, handoffs, whether it's jet sweeps, whether it's a reverse, whether it's a little, I think the one of Hutchinson's actually a little shovel pass.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a passing play. All right, let's do the boxing grade of the quarterbacks. Head-to-head yesterday, first time we've seen this matchup of rookies head-to-head. C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, who won this boxing match?
Well, there was a knockout, two quarterbacks. So 10-8. Yeah.
I think C.J. Stroud wins by KO.
And that play was...
It was a weird play. At first I thought that it was head. And I was like, well, that didn't look that serious. No. It didn't look that bad.
He hurt his ankle? Is that what they said?
I forget which one it was, which Texan it was. Stepped on his foot.
That's right.
I think it was the foot that had the high ankle sprain. But he stepped on his foot, so it trapped his foot and pinned it down as he fell backwards. So there's probably it's probably another ankle sprain to the top of the foot.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's no broken bone or anything like that.
But what's weird is then they carted him off, but then I saw people in
the
stadium.
Maybe it's broken.
But then, no, people in the stadium, he didn't make it to the tunnel.
Oh,
he
really?
Got off the cart and walked back.
So I bet you they're going to get an x-ray.
Yeah.
I bet you they're getting an x-ray. We should have known, because you can tell a broken bone, because they had the x-ray machines there within that. It's probably not a broken bone.
That was a very, very rookie play. Just totally unaware that player, that Hughes was coming in easy.
Like a film.
Yeah, just no awareness.
I posted that on Twitter. It was lack of feel, lack of awareness here for Levis. And I had some Levis truthers this is normal for a quarterback to, be, locked into a receiver.
Agree.
But it came from his front side. You got to have a little bit of feel there.
Yeah, I agree with a rookie quarterback. That play is not totally insane, but it was still a very bad play in that moment.
Yeah, it was. He's a rookie. He's mistake prone.
I'm gonna be honest.
And he was like that in college.
I still like him a lot.
He's got skill.
He is, I don't know what his peak is. Honest, what he can actually be, but I like him.
The things that I worry about it for him as a player, because he does have incredible skill. That's one thing that I noticed watching him in college. He's a really good athlete for the position. He's got one of the biggest arms in the league. The questions that he has to get better, the areas he has to get better. Reading defenses are a bit of an issue. He's very mistake prone, and I'm very anti turnover, so he's got to clean that up. I also think he's in a terrible, terrible situation. Tim Kelly's his offensive coordinator in this very awful offense. I would like if I'm looking at it from a Levis point of view, I wish I was in a much better offense. Levis in a Steichen offense would be really you know, interesting. I don't think that Levis would really succeed in a Slowik offense ever having, you know, the full season and the body of work to kind of diagnose it, because Slowik likes accuracy, he likes precision, he likes everything on time, and those are things that Levis is not good at. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, Philip?
Hey, yeah, Jeremy. How y'all doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Philip.
I'm just calling to, I live up here in Pennsylvania, and I'm a Texan fan because I'm from Houston, but, I saw this crazy stat that said that the Texans, the last two games stopping Derrick Henry, is like, he's only got like 30-some yards rushing or something like that. And I just wanted to ask you, and then it also said like the six previous games, he's got over 1,000 yards rushing against the Texans. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to ask you, is that the D'Amico Ryans effect on the defense, or is that Derrick Henry declining as a running back?
Appreciate
it. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Appreciate it, Phil. I think it's more the D'Amico effect. Like, Henry's going to have – I mean, Henry's 29. He's going to be 30 in the next couple of days. But he's also a 1,000-yard rusher this year. He has 11 touchdowns this year. Like, Derrick Henry isn't the Derrick Henry that was an all-pro of the past, but Derrick Henry's still very, very good. He's still very, very efficient. He's had multiple 100-yard games this year. He's given up – he's ran for 51 yards against the Texans in two games, 42 were yesterday. To me, it's the D'Amico effect. To me, it's D'Amico Ryan's commitment to stopping the run. D'Amico Ryan's believes in stopping the run. I mean, what's really impressive to me is that they've been doing this the last few weeks in both games against Derrick Henry and Tennessee with the nickel formation, like a nickel package on the field. Desmond King's been playing a majority of the snaps. They've been out of their base defense of 4-3 for nickel. They're playing four down linemen. They're playing two linebackers. Now, Desmond King's kind of cheating over from a nickel to be a linebacker, but he's still a nickel. Look at his size.
I can't believe they cut him.
Yeah, I can't either. It's weird.
He's so good.
He's so much better than Tavier Thomas. It's D'Amico. D'Amico's really good at scheming up the ability to stop teams running the football. It's totally D'Amico for me.
All right, we'll get to some breaking news here for you, okay? Because I see you asking a question on the Twitch, Jeremy, twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Mm-hmm.
The UFL, the new spring league, was announced yesterday by The Rock.
Yeah.
The gamblers are no more.
Right.
The Houston Roughnecks are officially living.
But cool.
Wade Phillips is not going to be the head coach.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Curtis Johnson, who was the gamblers head coach, is. And it gets worse. Wade Phillips is so beloved by The Rock, that Wade Phillips is going to be the head coach of the Brahmas.
Which city is that in?
I don't know.
Okay, at least he's in the league.
San Antonio.
Oh, he's going to San Antonio?
I hate that I know.
He's a Brahma. That's almost Branham. He's a Brahma. Okay, as long as Wade Phillips is still in the league. I'm glad that Wade Phillips is still the head coach. I know people on his staff. I hate that he's not in Houston, though. That stinks.
I do,
too. What a mistake. 713-780-ESPN. Let's hand out some NFL game balls when we return. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You've chosen wisely.
I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
You're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George in for Blankers today. Happy New Year to all of you. Hope you're keeping up with your resolutions for noon on New Year's Day. Let's hand out some game balls for those that deserve them around the NFL this past week. You want to do the honor here, Joe George?
Yeah, I'd like to first give a game ball to a special person. I don't know your name. I don't even know how old you are.
It's going to be tough to give out the game ball.
But I'm going to give a game ball to the fan that got a drink thrown in his face by the Panthers owner, because whatever you said was working. What a weird moment that was.
Yeah, the more it comes out on Dave Tepper, the harder he is to like, huh?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I was like, did he really just throw a drink at him? And then I love the Ari guy, Ari Moranov or whatever his name is. He's like, he spilled his drink, is what he said.
He spilled his drink?
he spilled his drink.
That's one way to put it. Some of his drink got onto a fan.
Factually correct.
Who's to say how it happened?
I mean, he did spill it.
He physically
spilled it himself.
Now you're talking like you're the defense attorney for Dave Tepper. But
I feel like more NFL owners have done this, and that
you
we just
so?
Don't know about it. Do you, I think that Jerry Jones is throwing a drink at somebody?
Free cell phone?
Yeah,
but
I
not
do.
A fan like that.
I bet you Jerry Jones at like some party got talked to by Wade and Lyon. He probably threw a drink.
I think you're right.
Mark Davis has done it. I'm sure that, I mean, Robert Kraft does all sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm sure Colin Harris has thrown barbecue sauce at someone.
Hannah McNair is like going around talking trash about sweeping the Titans to producers at the Highway to Hell. Like,
God, they love Figgy.
I feel like other owners in the NFL have done this. The problem is that Dave Tepper got caught on film.
But from the box into the stands,
that's an element of stupidity because it's like, yeah, you're going to have cameras on you, man. Like, you probably should not be doing this. You should never do it.
Yeah.
But you also shouldn't do it or you're going to get caught on camera.
Okay,
but
my first real game ball, Kyler Murray. 232 yards, 3 touchdowns. Obviously, a very bad pick 6 at the early in the game. But coming back, leading that team to beat the Eagles 35-31, if there was any question, I think, about what the Cardinals should do with their draft pick, I think he's clearly answered it. And even though they only have 4 wins, I'm impressed by Kyler Murray and Jonathan Gannon and what they've done this year. They've played solid football for not having a lot of talent on their roster.
I wonder how many of those 4 wins have come with Kyler Murray, too, because he's 3-4.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murray in his 7 games is 3-4.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I tend to agree. I'd rather have Kyler than Caleb Williams or Drake May. I thought Jonathan Gannon was, Jonathan Gannon got the ultimate revenge game. Pew, 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 pew. That was cool to see. James Conner, by the way, 130 yards, pair of touchdowns.
Man, he
honorable
just,
mention.
I appreciate that in the fantasy playoff.
Yeah, he just keeps going. Same.
That one-handed catch he had in the end zone was unbelievable.
Oh, so
great
good.
Great catch. I'm surprised you went with Kyler Murray as your first game ball and not the MVP, Lamar Jackson, who torched.
I knew you'd get that.
Torched the Miami Dolphins. 321 yards, 5 touchdowns for Lamar Jackson, who was on a different planet yesterday. I think he cemented the MVP with that game against Miami yesterday.
Without a doubt. I don't think anything could change it.
I don't think so.
Looking at the odds, I think Josh Allen's run was too late. Like, if Josh Allen won
the
division
yesterday,
he was
bad.
And the Ravens locked up the one seed, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lamar's.
I don't think they'll sit him next week because you don't want to sit him for 2 weeks, right? But, he locked up the MVP yesterday. He was on 5 touchdown performance when you're the odds-on favorite to win the MVP in week 17. It's clinched.
I just meant as, like, as far as his MVP hope, I mean, this is how stupid the MVP is, that him being the one seed helps his MVP status. And so if they can't drop out of the one spot, it'd be hard not to give it to him. Unless he absolutely stinks. But even then, it doesn't matter.
I mean, the last 2 weeks, he's dominated the 49ers. He's dominated the Miami Dolphins, two of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, what else can you say? Like, the Ravens are having an incredible season.
Still think he has to do it in the playoffs, though.
He's 1-3.
He's got to do it in the playoffs. Like, he needs to prove it in the playoffs.
Especially
Josh
now.
Allen needs to prove it in the playoffs.
As a one seed with a bye.
Yeah. Playing at a high level.
Do it in the playoffs for Lamar Jackson. What is the, like, bare minimum that he has to do in the playoffs to do it in the playoffs? If that makes sense.
Well, he's got a bye, so I think he has to get to the Super Bowl. Because my answer is 2 wins.
I think he could lose in like a shootout, though. Like,
yeah,
kind of like how Josh Allen lost in a shootout.
Lose the AFC title in a way that's not your fault.
Yeah.
In
a way that's not your
fault.
Well.
Like, you lose like in a 38-35, Lamar throws 4 touchdowns, 0 picks, and it's like just totally on the defense.
But
I think
then,
that's fine.
But even then, like, when the season starts next year and people are having these conversations, people say, well, he's 1-4.
Yeah.
Or 2-4 in the playoffs.
But I'll say, he was really good in his last playoff game, and it wasn't his fault that he lost.
Fair.
Haters would have plenty of ammunition.
Oh, for sure. But he's playing at an extremely high level. He'd be my MVP.
Joe has taken both of mine.
the fan?
I was actually just going to give it to Tepper, but
it's a good pass. Better pass. I mean, his accuracy is much better than his rookie quarterback.
There we go.
Much better than his rookie quarterback.
So I'll pivot and I'll steal one from Joe and I'll say Justin Fields because
Hell
he basically played himself into being for sure a starter next year in the NFL and likely the Chicago starter in the NFL.
He will be a starting quarterback in the NFL next year without a doubt.
Khalil Herbert was really good in that game too. I thought he was out, hurt.
He's been really good the last 2 weeks.
Did he return last week?
Yeah, last week was... No, he's been back for a couple weeks.
Didn't notice.
But he's been bad into the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was good yesterday.
This is where, like, I kind of wonder. You know, their offensive coordinator has nothing to do with the run game. And their running back coach was the second coach this year. They got fired by HR, not by Matt Eberflus. So, like, that's why, like, their run game kind of fell off.
Huh. Got another one, Joe?
Kyron Williams.
Yeah, he was good.
He's so good. I loved him so much at Notre Dame. He was never this guy. Like, I don't, like, what he's doing for the Rams, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, probably the best fantasy football draft pick that exists. Maybe didn't get drafted in most leagues.
Well,
yeah,
I would
probably
say
a waiver pickup.
Waiver pickup, depending on where you're drafted. Best ball, he was drafted like in 18th round in best balls.
If it's a full point PPR, is it Kyren or is it his teammate?
Puka. Puka can win undrafted in a lot of best balls.
So I feel like it would be if it's a PPR league, it's probably the best pickup was Puka.
I don't know. I'd probably lean Kyren.
Yeah,
I'd probably lean Kyren because a lot of times you're drafting receivers. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the position is probably why I lean Kyren over Puka. But both, I mean,
he
both are really
some time, though, right?
Stroud was a steal, too. Puka or Kyren?
Kyren Williams.
Yeah, Kyren did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyren, that's a good point.
And he wasn't the starter right away.
No, it took a little while.
Because they still were trying to roll out Cam Akers.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. You got a point. Puka's more consistent. Kyren Williams was more come on late, and then he had the injuries. CeeDee Lamb, 13, 227, touchdown.
So good.
Probably should have had a second touchdown, but he fumbled through the end zone. He broke the record for receptions and receiving yards in Cowboys history, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm also going to hand out an honorary game ball, though, to the White Hat in that game for screwing up the two-point conversion.
I was going to – because no one really – we've given a lot of game balls so far, but no one actually affected winning and losing as much as referee Brad Allen did.
That guy sucks. He's the worst referee in the NFL. Sorry to bring him up again.
Doesn't help his case.
A couple weeks ago, there was a Bears game. They threw a Hail Mary. Like 5 seconds after the throw, Justin Fields got crushed. He was the referee in that game. He was also the referee when C.J. Stroud got concussed and didn't call a penalty. Mm-hmm. And then he did this stuff. This guy sucks. He should be fired.
He's not good.
Nah, game ball. Game ball this week.
He's a game ball this week.
You get a game ball
on
your way out the
door. Most important Cowboy this week.
Single-handedly won the game for Dallas. He was better than CeeDee Lamb. He got 13 catches, 227 yards, and a touchdown. He was better than Dak Prescott.
Got a key stop.
What's his name? Brad Allen?
Brad Allen.
Brad Allen.
Double check.
White Hat in that game. The most valuable player, game ball recipient. All right, that's it for game balls. When we come back, I love a good New Year countdown. Love a good New Year countdown. So when we come back, our top Houston sports moments of 2023. Our top 10. What belongs on the list? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm an idea man, Chuck.
This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper.
All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right. It's New Year's Day. I don't know if you noticed that, but today is the first day of the new year. I like a good New Year countdown. Top 40 songs. Best TV shows of 2023. Best moments of 2023. We're in Houston, right? So we have our top Houston sports moments of 2023. Let us know where we go wrong, 713-780-3776. We'll go 10-1 on this list. The first one, number 10, in our top Houston sports moments of 2023, our very own Houston Dynamo. We are the home of the Houston Dynamo, play-by-play guy Glenn Davis. The Houston Dynamo winning the U.S. Open Cup.
Herrera's going to hold on to it. That's it. The Houston Dynamo have done it. The Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup will come to the Houston Dynamo. What a moment it is here for Ben Olsen and his team in year one.
What a moment. What a moment. They beat the, what is Miami called? They beat Miami. They beat Inter Miami, led by Lionel Messi. Now, he didn't play in that game.
He didn't
play in the U.S. Open Cup. But he's still on the squad. He's still on the payroll. Houston Dynamo winning the U.S. Open Cup. Number 10. Is that equivalent to the NIT in the NBA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because someone got got triggered
NIT.
By your tweet.
In season's one word. You can't use one word to be the acronym for two different letters. Just
the NBA disagrees.
NBA is wrong because they realize it's the NIT after the fact. Number 9 in our top 10 Houston sports moments of 2023. Houston Rockets hiring a new coach.
You know, very excited to get started. A lot of what Tillman alluded to was obviously the young talent that we have on this roster, but a lot of things were very attractive about this job, and you know, cap space is a big thing. Chance to grow with these young players, and I'm excited to get out, get to meet them, spend some time with them, and start building those relationships. So I want to say thank you to everybody and appreciate you guys for having me.
It's kind of funny that he's so high on this list, being number 9 on our top 10 sports moments. He's 15-15 as a head coach. Now, we think that he's doing great. He's doing great. He's developing this team. You can tell he's a real head coach. I think him being high on this list, though, is more of a testament to Stephen Silas than it is Ime Udoka.
I was telling Joe before the show, I kind of want to put the Stephen Silas rants, that weird, like,
the fake
they're
one.
They're just not listening.
Not doing what they're supposed to do.
I just wanted to play it. Mostly, I just wanted to play it. I just wanted to hear it again. But I do think that's, I mean, Ime Udoka, we'll get to another coach who basically revived a professional sports team in the city. But that's what Ime did.
Yeah, true. He's I think it's deserving. But it shows you the sad state of where the Rockets were. Number 8 on our top 10 Houston sports moments of 2023, U of H basketball reaching number 1 in the national polls.
1 second to go for the win. He got it. The Cougars win it. Number 1 remains number 1.
Is that the wrong year?
Joe doesn't even play my highlight.
It's another radio station.
You know the voice of the Houston Cougars, and you played that?
I heard that. Well, to be fair, it is another voice of the Houston
Cougars. But it's me? I have proprietary whatever over it.
I was doing this at 1 a.m. You were asleep at 11.
Unreal. Unreal.
I think we played. I know Paul and I played.
We played me.
Yeah, I know we do.
Okay.
I was just making an excuse.
Unbelievable.
2023.
I didn't know how to find it.
I can't believe y'all voted for this one to be so low. It was my number 2. I don't know how it got to number 8. By the way, we took the votes of Joe, Sean, and myself, calculated it, and played the average. I voted it as number 2. I don't know how it landed all the way at 8, you disrespectful jerks. I think one of you left it off completely.
I might have.
I think one of you left it off completely. Unbelievable.
You left it off?
Number 1 in the country, folks. And one of you left it off completely. Because, was it you, Sean? Wears burnt orange.
To me, it's not like, and a lot of my list was like this, it's not like a moment if it's the AP poll comes out and we see on our phones that they're number 1 in the country.
As opposed to like a big shot.
As opposed to like an actual thing that happened.
Okay. All right. Number 7 on our top 10 Houston sports moments of 2023. Framber Valdez's no-hitter.
Looper Pena. No-hitter for Framber Valdez. The first lefty in franchise history to throw a no-hitter.
That courtesy of the shin. It really wasn't the shin yet, but I like calling it that. The Framber, like, this should be high on the list. One thing that I think kind of dilutes it a little is that he was so bad in the second half of the season.
100%.
It's like his only good start. Well, it wasn't his only good start, but it was one of very few good starts in the second half of the season.
We had a list of 11 things.
We had 11 things. Yeah, yeah.
I did not vote for the 11th thing because, well, Cougs football didn't even make a bowl game. So, to me, it was like,
it was a great moment.
The Hail Mary was great, but it's like the season wasn't good enough. I think that's fair.
I
think it's fair.
That's completely fine. That's why I think I had it. Did I have a lower than 7?
I had a bias 10th for it. I think I actually left the no hitter off.
Really?
Yeah, because like I said, he diluted it by having a poor second half.
Fair.
You know, but you can make the case for the Hail Mary with that too. You know, poor season kind of dilutes that great moment.
But first Big 12 win.
Yeah.
I also thought about just like being like the Cougs being in the Big 12. Mm. And so, but I kind of folded it into the internally. I folded it into the win itself. Because being in the Big 12 is like a big thing.
Yeah, that one was the one that got left out. Number 6, Kaimi Fairbairn with the winner against the Tennessee Oilers.
John Weeks, the snapper. Cam Johnston, the holder. Fairbairn's kick is good. And the Texans win it.
Kaimi Fairbairn, that was his first game back, too, by the way. If the Texans would have had Kaimi Fairbairn the whole season, they would have already clinched the playoffs. Hot take.
Maybe even the division.
Maybe even, yeah, they would. They'd have one more game.
I think it was a hot take. They beat Jacksonville in overtime that week.
I think so. Well, I mean, they would have tied it. Do they win an OT? That's debatable.
I think so. I think turnover Trevor Lawrence would have given you the ball.
It's really nice to have a kicker that can make field goals greater than 40 yards.
It's
what a luxury.
They were questioning him yesterday on the TV broadcast.
Really? Blake Blanker's questions him every day.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
He hates Fairbairn.
He's one of the best kickers in the NFL.
Yeah, he's still caught up in that take from 4 years ago. He should have paid.
He should It's a mistake that he doesn't have a contract extension right now.
I don't know if it's a mistake.
I mean, the Bears just did it. Why not give Kyrie?
You kind of wait and see. I think they're going to tag him. I think they're going to tag Kyrie
Instead of Bernard?
It's going to be one of those two guys. Like, they will use their franchise tag this offseason on one of those two guys.
When's the last time they used it?
Clowney? Maybe Clowney, but then they traded him.
Like, I don't even know who they would have used it since.
I think they did put the tag on Clowney and then traded him right before the year.
Yeah.
They did. They traded him to Seattle. He was supposed to be part of the Laramie trade, but like screwed up. Number five, Justin Verlander being traded to the Astros again.
Houston was, the number one choice for me. Just knowing these guys so well, and having a chance to win, the familiarity, and had such a great time here. So yeah, that was number one choice.
Justin Verlander being traded again. Now, some people don't love what they gave, Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford, but it was cool to have Verlander back, and it dominated the headlines for a few days because, like, oh, he's supposed to be traded, supposed to be an Astro, blah, blah, blah.
But once he was here, it lasted, what, 6 hours?
What do you mean?
Because Fromber
threw the no-hitter that night?
Was it that night?
Yeah.
That's
but
incredible.
I think we still, I can it was only still speak a big for deal, the Paul Gaucho, I think we still, I think, no, we led with Fromber,
yeah.
And I think the rest of the show was about Justin Verlander.
Yeah, I think Verlander got traded on our show.
Yeah, it would have been during our show.
It happened during our show.
Yeah, we were reacting to both of them.
Yeah. So we, but like, I can't believe that those things happen on the same day.
That's cool. I forgot that.
We almost could, like, if you combine them, how much higher are they on this list?
I don't think you can combine them. They're two separate entities.
But it's one day.
But they're two different moments.
They're two different moments.
Yeah, so is our next one.
What do you mean?
Technically.
No, our next one, you're wrong. Our next one's number four, hiring D'Amico Ryans.
The next one after that.
I can't wait to get to work, to get to coaching.
I love this.
All right, we want to bring a winning, all right, a winning team. That's what we want to bring to Houston. We want to bring you guys a team that you're going to be proud of as fans, right? We want to fill up NRG Stadium, and we want you guys to make this truly a home field advantage for us again, right? All the excitement that we have right now, I'm excited, I'm fired up, and our fans, we want to continue that excitement in supporting the team that we have here.
I'll run through a wall for that guy. D'Amico Ryans being hired by the Texans. Remember, Aaron Wilson reported that he was not interested in the job. Just want to point that out.
Still hasn't worked on part of that, developing a home field advantage for the Texans.
I mean, they went 6-3, right?
It looked pretty.
Well, I just mean, like, actually, the fans actually being there and excited for the Texans.
Yeah, they
we're betting about. What?
Houston sports 250? It's a slow-moving ship.
Okay.
It takes a while for everybody to completely buy in.
They had some big, they had some big fan bases that came to
you have to be,
Houston.
Yeah.
It's got to be playoff games. You got to be dominating for a while. You got to be the number one team in the nation.
You can't be during rush hour.
You can't be during rush. Yeah, you got to, it's Houston sports sometimes are slow-moving ships when it comes to having the complete buy-in.
I'll just say, still work to do for D'Amico in 2024.
But I'll counterpoint that 6-3 at home in 2023. Number three, which probably a bigger reason for the success of the Texans, the draft night of the first round.
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud. With the third pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr.
That was surreal on draft night, and it still feels surreal now. Like, how many times you draft the franchise quarterback at two, and you don't know that he's going to be the franchise quarterback when you draft him, but you hope he's going to be. So you draft what you hope is going to be the franchise quarterback at two, and then you trade up to go Will Anderson. Like, it felt surreal that night, and it still feels surreal that the Texans were the team that made this bold move that most NFL teams never make.
It was incredible. Like, we were at Valencia's, obviously, for the draft show, and the reaction in the moment was unbelievable.
Because
it was crazy.
Because, like, the first thing you have is the pick has been traded, and everyone's like, okay, like, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, like, Schefter and them, like, it's the Texans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is happening right now?
So weird.
It's unbelievable.
It was a really cool moment, even if you didn't love the trade.
A day that will live in infamy.
for the teams around the NFL, yes. Sean Maves. I didn't say who was going to live in infamy for.
It's true.
I think I did, actually.
I actually right think I did. Right when you threw to it, I was like, I wish I would have grabbed the sound clip of Jeremy.
Infamy for the other 31 teams in the NFL. Moving on to number two.
It's in Joe Jor. It just won the Bad Take Boulevard bracket. Yeah. So
I don't have to look hard.
In protest, to be fair. But it won the bracket.
There's definitely an asterisk. Number two, top Houston sports moments of 2023. Couple of rookies connecting on a game-winning score.
Trout to the end zone. Touchdown! Tank Dell! C.J. Stroud leads a magical drive.
You mean Tank Dell leads that magical drive? I'm not sure who I love more. Actually, I do. I love Tank Dell more than C.J. Stroud. But I love C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell. I love the connection between the two.
I find it weird he left, like, when it was 17-0 was on IG Live
in
his car.
Yeah, I did find that weird. He was at the U of H basketball game Saturday.
Yeah.
And he left early from that one. But that was a blowout. I can understand why he left early. Yeah,
so was yesterday.
I was a little surprised that he left at halftime of the Houston Texans game.
Just on Instagram Live in his car. Like.
I would, if it wasn't Tank Dell and the love that I have for Tank Dell, I'd probably bash him a little bit. Yeah, that was a weird move.
Why are we bringing this up now?
It's a weird move.
We're celebrating him.
Joe
we're
brought
celebrating
him, up. Him. Like, I don't... Like, I crushed Deshaun Watson for being in the suite the other day, and Joe Burrow's down on the side, and Tank Dell's leaving at halftime.
If he was a Texas Longhorn, it would be lead story today.
Oh, for sure.
What is Tank Dell doing?
Yeah,
the game doesn't matter.
Knowing Diva. Me, it probably would be. It sounds like something I would do. But it's Tank Dell. Go Cougs. Number one in our top Houston sports moments of 2023. I don't need to set it up.
The 0-1. High fly ball to deep left field. Back to the wall. Altuve makes the moment again. Astros lead in the ninth.
Yeah, what a moment. That was an awesome moment. Really good moment. Just wish they won one game at home. Just wish you won one game at home. What do you make of that call? He makes the moment.
Yeah, it's meets the moment, right? That's still a weird thing to say at the moment, but that is like the actual phrase.
He makes the moment.
I guess he also made the moment.
Yeah, I guess he did make the moment.
He swung the bat. I made the moment.
Yeah. Joe Davis?
Dodger Joe Davis?
I think he's pretty good.
I think he's really good. I think he's really good.
Honestly,
let the record show.
I will
think
say
he's
this.
Really good.
I'm about 2 weeks away from being at the station officially for a year. Mm-hmm. That is by far my favorite moment of this job.
Oh,
we were all at East River 9 watching the game with a bunch of listeners. That was incredible.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was really cool.
Great moment.
We might do watch parties for Texans playoff games if they make the playoffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where, I don't know yet. But.
So there's our top 10 Houston sports moments of 23. Winning the U.S. Open Cup for the Dynamo, hiring Ime Udoka, U of H reaching number one in the national polls, Fromber no-hitter, Fairbairn's winner against the Oilers, trading for Verlander again, hiring D'Amico Ryans, draft night first round, drafting Stroud at 2, trading up for Anderson at 3, Stroud's game winner to Tank Dell, go Cougs, against Tampa at number 2, and at number 1, Jose Altuve's game 5 homer against the Rangers in the ALCS. Where we go wrong? 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Car wreck of the day coming up next, presented by CarWreckTexas.com. Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me my f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day, brought to you by CarWreckTexas.com.
All right, time for our Car Wreck of the Day, presented by CarWreckTexas.com. Joe in for Blank. Blank will be back tomorrow. Sean Mapes hanging out with us as well. What are you starting with, Joe? What is your Car Wreck of the Day nominee?
Yeah, I'm going to twofer. I understand the intent, but I'm going to nominate Dan Campbell and Brian Daboll. I understand why you go for two in those moments, but after the botch by the referees, the Lions should have taken the field goal. And then
the extra point.
And then the Giants, you know, they get it to 26-25. I know you're having a bad season, but Tyrod Taylor's playing good. Just take the extra point. Just tie the game. And maybe I don't feel this way if they converted, but both these teams had a chance to push the game into overtime, and they just chose not to do it.
Yeah. I don't really care about the Giants. Like, they're not going anywhere. They don't really have a chance to do much. Now, the other side of it, though, with the Lions, I agree with the Dan Campbell thing. I thought they were going to try to, like, draw him off sides. Mm-hmm. And then, I think they had a timeout left. I can't remember. And then just take the timeout. I was shocked that they actually ran the play. Yeah. Now, they got the, was it Parsons? They got Parsons. I think it was Parsons.
Yeah, they got a penalty.
To get him off. They got him offside. So they got the other play, and I was okay with them going for it after they got the offsides. Mm-hmm. Now, it was interesting to me that they actually snapped the ball the one prior to that. I agree with the Dan Campbell one. Like, who cares what the Giants are doing? They're not a playoff team. But the Dan Campbell one, I agree. That was interesting.
Yeah, you get three. You missed it twice. Just at some point, just be like, hey, like, this is not working.
Well, no, you got it the first time, but
it's true. They
Brad
did
Allen took it into his own hands. I kind of disagree a little bit. Where I think if you go for it the first time, you're
just
also
keep going.
No, you're just the second one is the one where you kick it.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, you're back to the first one. And right. So if you made the decision the first time, you should make it the third time.
Like, I agree with that. I agree. The first and third one, I didn't mind at all.
Yeah, going for it
the second
7-yard
one was weird.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I wonder the math on that.
It can't be good.
Probably, yeah, I was going to say, probably not great.
I feel like any analytics would tell you that's a bad idea. Because the 2-yard line, the 4-yard line,
OT is 50-50. And so do you think you have a 50% chance of scoring? From the 7.
Yeah, I wonder how much lower it drops to. Like, I wonder the odds of scoring from the 7. You said from the 2 is 50-50? I wonder
well,
what
that's,
it
like, generally the math behind going for 2.
I wonder what it is from the 7.
Probably lower. I mean, but you're 5 yards farther back. And it's not rocket science.
It's good well, point. Something. I mean, you always hear people, too, talk about the more room you have, the easier it is to score.
Also a good point.
Yeah, but you don't want to go for it from the 20.
Now, what
you'd
you,
rather
no,
go
know
for
that.
It from the 2.
But for, like, the 2 and the 5, what's the difference there? Like, it probably takes the running play out of the equation.
Yeah.
Like, that hurts. I think that's
yeah,
what drops
you can't,
the percentages.
You can't run the, like, little rub play to the slant or
yeah.
to the flat.
It's better, yeah, because now you're looking at a screen OPI.
Yeah, you'd
you
have to run it
the
5 yards apart.
Yeah, I do wonder the math on that, though. I wonder what the likelihood of scoring from the 7 is.
If any football analytics statisticians are listening to the show.
Now, if you have a 50% chance of scoring from the 2 every single time, why aren't you going for 2 every single time? You're getting 2 points 50% of the time.
Some would say you should.
Yeah, because you're
I think a lot of people would say you should.
Because the point rate's still high, but it's what, like low 90s?
Yeah.
Maybe mid-90s?
Yeah,
so mid-90s. Like 95% of the time you're getting 1 point versus 50% of the time you're getting 2 points. The math would say go for 2.
That's the reasoning behind when you're down 14 and you score the first touchdown, you always go for 2. Because that's the only way you can possibly win the game in regulation.
Yeah.
I kind of do like the new extra point rule being moved back.
Should move it even farther back.
I don't know if you want to go much further back. I think that Brad Allen's my car wreck of the day nominee.
It's fair. He's like very bad at his job.
Sean mentioned earlier, he single-handedly won that game for the Dallas Cowboys. They went and reported the right guy. He was confused. Now, Detroit kind of deked everybody. And then he screwed up the play. Got the call wrong.
Yeah.
Won that game for the Cowboys. Also think Mike McDaniel is a car wreck of the day nominee, too. For playing Bradley Chubb in a blowout game when they were losing, and then he tears his ACL. Why do NFL coaches play their starters in blowout games? I know you can't bench everybody. Why do NFL head coaches continue to play their stars in blowout games?
He was 3 minutes left, down by 30.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you can't pull every starter, but you can pull your best ones. Mm-hmm. DeMeco did it the other day with the left tackle for the Texans when it was 30-6. He didn't get hurt, but he wasn't lost on me. All right, what's winning, Carrick of the day?
Brad Allen.
Alex says you for not using my soundbite.
It's 2024. Thanks, Alex.
I'm going to go Brad Allen. Do you have a...
agree. Brad Allen.
Brad Allen, congratulations. You're our car wreck of the day presented by CarWreckTexas.com. Coming up later on the station, college football semifinals. But up next, it's Connor and Beard on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.